Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are back and we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 280 as Joe plays with virtual backgrounds. That didn't go great.
No.
We are here to talk about a great card. See how I spun that? Islam Makhachev. In my mind, he's the A side. No, don't. I get it, everybody. The champ has a name. And you'll talk about it. Charles Oliveira. And Islam Makhachev taking each other on for the UFC lightweight title. Did you know the last time a lightweight champion lost his belt in the cage? It was 6 years ago.
I did not know that.
And it was that was Eddie Alvarez, Conor McGregor was the last time a lightweight champion was defeated to lose his belt. Co-main event: Aljamain Sterling taking on T.J. Dillashaw. Going to be a fun card. Peter Yan, Sean O'Malley. I'm really looking forward to Beneil Dariush and Mateus Gamrot. Should be fun. What's not going to be fun is trying to pronounce the names on this card. It's going to be a friggin' nightmare. And I'll be the guy taking the lead on that. I'm your host. I go by Sniper MMA. Follow me on Twitter at Sniper_MMA. But that's all you're really going to hear from me other than quips and making fun of our analyst, the co-host, the important guys of the show. And just on, if you're watching on YouTube, just Chris, that's all you put in there, Chris, for in StreamYard?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Real Chris Olsen and Joe, better known as Sun Tzu. Guys, you ready to talk about 280?
Yeah, roll, baby. Like you said, fun card. I'm going to step in front of Joe because that's just how I do it. Fun card for sure. Best main card, we've seen in a while. This one might actually be worth the 70, 80, 90 bucks, whatever they ask these days. But definitely a fun card. A lot of fun stuff on prelims. I noticed that a fight that, Joe, you were interested in fell out.
I know. That's a bummer, man.
Which is Almeida versus Tuukka Goff. I think a lot of people were waiting for that one. But we got some interesting prelims, too, and, lots of ways to – bet and play DFS and make money. So I'm excited to talk about it. Let's do it.
Let's get into it. Before we do, though, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. They got you covered for all types of fantasy sports, regular, season-long, daily, all that stuff. 10-day free trial, no credit card required. Subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel, RotoWire MMA. Let's start off with a women's fight. So I guess Joe has to go first this week. It's Carol Rosa at 9,200 taking on Lena Landsberg, 7,000 current line on this fight. Rosa is, I hate the best fight odds is nowhere close to the right order anymore. Carol Rosa is -330. Comeback on Lena Landsberg is +275. I'm just going to give my quick picks off the top, because I want to keep these condensed and more time to, poke at you guys. That's what I want to do now. I just want to poke and jab and entertain.
Won't the wife be jealous? I mean, come on.
I like Carol. No, she'll be like, go. Just, it's fine.
Wow.
She'll be like, go bring that energy somewhere else for a night. You're fine.
Nice.
Carol Rosa is who I pick here. I think she takes the path of least resistance. She can strike. She can grapple. I think in this one, she'll grapple because she can. I think she beats Lena Landsberg. Joe, women's MMA whisperer, who you got?
Yeah, I wish I really had a hot take for you on this fight, but it's pretty straightforward. Look, Landsberg, a.k.a. the Elbow Queen, 7K, Rosa at 9.2K. I really think this is kind of a farewell fight for Landsberg. She's 40 years old. Rosa's coming off a loss, I believe, to Sarah McMahon. I honestly, this is a big step down for her. She gets back on track here. My only concern is, will she get the finish? And from a DraftKings perspective, I don't know. Well, I suppose she could get a number of takedowns and get some control time, but a 9.2K on this slate, is that going to be enough? Now, she certainly has some upside. I mean, she has some DraftKings. She has some DraftKings points totals. Going back to Edwards, Mello, and Propecio, 109, 110, 112, and then 89 with Correa. So, you know, she lost to Sarah McMahon, put up 37 points, you know, in a loss where she was an 8.9K favorite. So she certainly has the potential to break 100. Honestly, I don't know that Landsberg is better than Correa, Edwards, or Mello. So, you know, I think she could be very sneaky as a pivot from some of the top higher owned, better named male fighters on this slate. I think her ownership is going to be low. I don't know, Sean, if you've, you know, calculated ownership yet, but like, I think her ownership is going to be pretty low. And I think she could be, you know, an interesting pivot. Although I do believe a lot of it is going to be based on, she's going to have to get a lot of takedowns and control time if it goes to decision. If, you know, otherwise, I don't really see her. If Landsberg clinches her up against the cage, that's kind of her game. And you know, we don't get the takedowns, it's going to be a really low score for Rosa, you know, if she wins a decision. So we need takedowns or we need a finish.
Chris, you got a crazy hot take for us? Come on. This is your special.
No, I do not. I'm going to stop instinctively turning my head because I can see the game if I just look in here. So sorry about that. But yeah, I'm going to say. I was going to say there's not a lot of whispering required for this one, but I think Joe hit on why I don't like this for DFS. It's because Landsberg, her only game is to like wall install you up against the fence and try to like land elbows or shots. And occasionally she'll convert takedowns. I mean, she's not Sarah McMahon, who's this big, strong wrestler. So I'm not concerned that we're going to get a repeat of that. I think Hossa wins, but I'm going to say, if you want to play this fight, Hossa via decision, minus 120 for a minus 325. Hossa only wins by decision. Landsberg doesn't get finished. That seems pretty good to me. Seems like a lot of value there. That was on FanDuel that I saw that. So, wrote that up too. Hint, hint. I'll be dropping those seeds all night. But yeah, I don't like this for DraftKings because even if Landsberg wins, I can't really trust her to put up a lot of points, even with the control time there. So I'm probably going to fade this one in DFS, but the pick is Hossa.
All right, let's move on to our next fight. Next up, we got Muhammad Makhachev, 9,600, taking on Malcolm Gordon, 6,600. Current line in this fight, which is important because it keeps getting more inflated. I'm going to go with DraftKings odds. Makhachev minus 1,250, comeback on Gordon, plus 800. I just did a whole breakdown on this fight on my YouTube channel, so you guys can check that out. And it's not because of any great insight to the fight itself. It's about 9,600 is a lot on DraftKings. How are you going to build some of these lineups? The pick is Makhachev by any way he wants. If he doesn't want to win in the first 60 seconds, scoring is going to be tough. Obviously, cash games get him in if you can, but it means you're sacrificing probably one of the favorites in the main or co-main. I mean, you're not double stacking those favorites unless your lineup's going to get real, real screwy. I think you're probably doing cash games in GPP. I made a case I'd rather play. If you had three lineups, how many Makhachevs would you rather put in? I'm not going to give you the choice of one or two. You have to play zero Makhachev or three. Which one would you guys play? Chris, just
three.
Joe?
One.
You get your choices are zero or three.
Then if those are only my only two choices, it would have to be three.
See, I would go zero. I would argue the other side. Well, it's hard to get 9,600 in the optimal lineup unless a few dogs are barking. And Anand says three as well. I would argue that.
Sean, what you're forgetting, though, is he was 9,500 in his last fight and he put up 120.
I think both fights were 120, right?
He's next to fight before at 9.1K.
You can't just assume you're assuming.
You at least have some data here. No, you're right.
But if other people on the card also put up 100 to 120, it gets less valuable. And if you only have three lineups, ownership-wise, I want to win the whole thing. I'm better off playing none.
Well, now, I get it.
My ideal number is probably the two is how I'm going to attack it. But I'm just saying in terms of those two extremes, I'm on the zero side.
I would be more than thrilled with 120. That's all I have to say.
Well, cash game's a different story. Get him in cash game.
I'm not playing cash this week.
Yeah. So I wanted to have a different spin on this fight because if we have any additional technical analysis, I might just leave the call. Mm-hmm. Chris, who you got?
But his ownership, probably less than his ownership, maybe like low 20%, right? You think? So does it become
Makhachev?
Yeah, you think people are everybody's paying up?
Oh yeah, he's gonna have high
everybody
ownership.
Else on the card? Okay.
Well, you know, you've got a main event favorite at really low odds that you could balance. Not favorite, I'm sorry. A main event live dog that
live
you could
dog,
balance, man. You know, this fight with.
Two
and
of
come
them.
Up with the blend.
Main and co-main.
Yeah, like, main and co-main.
I think he'll be 50% owned.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I would say pretty close to that myself. And I'm not an ownership guy. I'm you know, Sean and you know, Brad are far better at ownership than I am.
I honestly I would take that on there, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Wait, podcast bet?
Okay, what do you have in mind?
A shoey?
Same thing me and Joe did. Buy a shirt.
The shirt. You gotta do the shirts.
Okay. So what is it?
So what happens is if you win, you buy a shirt that he has to wear on the air. If he wins, he buys a shirt that you have to wear on the air.
Yeah, no, I absolutely want to do that. Let's do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But 50% set up. You got it.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Makhachev is.
So here's the thing. Look, I'm not gonna. I have no hot takes here. But what I find really interesting is, you know, Malcolm Gordon is coming off of two underdog wins at 7.1K and 7.3K. This is his third straight fight as a dog. I do think at some point that Makhachev is going to be exposed. I mean, if you look at his record, right? Okay, so he's a 7-0 fighter. But if you look, he's actually had, you know, he's had a couple of decision wins. You know, like as you know, against fighters that are not great. You know, now he's obviously improving with every fight. The guy's dynamic. He's athletic. I don't think this is the time that he's going to get exposed. You know, I really don't. You know, so I guess we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. I think he's going to win. If he can find Gordon's chin. He'll probably make the optimal. If this goes to decision, I'd find this very difficult to make the optimal. So I certainly would not be an all in. I would not hit the all in button on Makhachev. And I would have, based on how many lineups you're playing, a share or two of Gordon. Now, if you're playing 3 to 5 lineups, no. But if you're playing 20 lineups, if you're maxing the $3 contest, nothing wrong with having one Gordon lineup, you know, so and talk about being different. You know, that'll make you pretty different.
True. I mean, that I can't argue with. All right. Next fight up. Let's talk about Armin Petrosian, 9,100, taking on AJ Dobson at 7,100. Line in this fight, Petrosian's -205. Dobson is +175. Look, I think this is the first spot in the card where I think, well, for sure, in my opinion, we got a real live dog barking, and I'm going to go ahead and pick him to win. I like AJ Dobson. I like the pressure. I like all that. I do think if he doesn't get it done early, Petrosian will probably take over, get his striking reads down the stretch, and win the fight via decision. But my official pick will be AJ Dobson via round one KO, live, really live dog for GPPs, high ceiling. Playable in cash, but not a first option. But I do think he's valuable because I don't think Petrosian will put him away early. And he's super cheap with a lot of upside. I've come around to some guys build strictly floor in cash game. I like floor with a little bit of ceiling mixed in. I want just that little bit of upside. And I think Dobson provides that. Joe, you're first for this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to hop on the Dobson train here. Look, we need some dogs, right? And Dobson got Russell F'd. He got malcooned. That's a new phrase now in MMA, getting malcooned. So he got malcooned.
By the way, I'm going to stop calling Jacob Malcoon Robert Whitaker's friend.
He's now a fighter. He got malcooned. And, you know, so we got both of these fighters coming off a loss, right? We got Petrosian coming off a loss against the jiu-jitsu nerd, Caio Borrejo, who's fighting later on in this card. He was a plus 205 underdog in that fight. And then he gave Gregory Rodriguez, a.k.a. RoboCop, all that he could handle in a split decision. So I guess the question here is, like, which one of these guys is going to show up? Now, Dobson is pretty balanced. I mean, he has two wins. Like, in his last four victories, I believe he's got two wins by knockout and two wins by sub. But I don't know that Dobson – I see this as a stand-up fight. Now, I'm going to admit I did not watch a ton of tape on this fight. I'm kind of going on memory and the fights that I watched. But unless one of you guys tells me that, you know, Dotson's got this real wrestling pedigree. I mean, he trains really at a jiu-jitsu gym. But unless one of you guys tells me he's got a wrestling pedigree, I have a feeling that this fight is going to be standing. In which case, I think it's a good matchup for Dotson. He's athletic. He's strong. Excuse me. And at 7.1K, it opens up a lot of possibilities. GPP only, probably. I don't know if I'd take a chance on him in cash. I think there are better cash plays. AKA, let's look at one of the title fights. So I'm going to go with Dotson here. I see this as a GPP play. Let's see which Petrosian shows up. Hopefully not the one who had a split decision against RoboCop, and, you know, the one who got malcooned shows up.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, AJ Dobson is a wrestler, I believe.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. They were talking up his pedigree before the Malcoon fight.
Okay, great. I mean, if that's the case, then okay.
Yeah, had a takedown in that contender series fight, got a submission like Joe was talking about. Had that really interesting way of defending takedowns against Malcoon where he would actually lift up his hands from the lock, which might just be like a wrestler thing because I've never seen that before. But I'm going to make it unanimous, which means that Dobson is going to be extremely popular as a dog, because I don't know why the betting the line dove on him so quickly. I mean, he lost to Malcoon. He got malcooned, and in his last fight, Petrosian got malcooned, kind of. I mean,
by Borrejo. And by the way, I said it the wrong way. Yeah, I meant Borrejo. I said Malcoon for Petrosian, yeah. But he got Borrejo'd.
We got you. But yeah, so I think Dobson can – he's fast, he's powerful, he's got quick hands, and he can wrestle. So with that wrinkle in there, I don't see how he's not one of your main dogs to play.
Yeah, and we're not going to hold it against him that he lost to John Gunther, because that was in 2014.
Well, who else? What other big UFC vet lost to? Was it Jalen Turner who also lost to John Gunther? Some other UFC vet Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I think it was Devontae Smith.
Okay, yeah. So, well, for whatever reason, he's got some names on there, kind of like Jay Ellis. For some reason, you go to his sure dog, and Gerald Meerschaert is there for some reason.
Yeah, right. Devontae Smith lost to lost to Gunther. Yeah,
he guessed that. He punched himself out.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I do remember that. But yeah. So Dobson's going to be really popular. I kind of disagree with Joe. I'm going to use him in cash. I think that floor is pretty solid.
Now that you like I said, I saw that he trained at a jiu-jitsu gym. I don't recall him using wrestling all that much in his last fight, and I am completely transparent in saying I did not do tape on this fight. You know, I just went by, you know, having known I watched these guys' last few fights, and I have a pretty decent memory. So if you're telling me he's got a wrestling pedigree, then I could certainly see him as being cash viable at 7.1K, although I do not think he's got the same floor as, I don't want to give away the lead or bury the lead, but AKA title fight.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But so then, like, I think pretty comfortably Dobson slides in there for some salary relief. But like I said, if the three of us agree on it, it's a dog, it's probably going to be really popular. So
agree.
Go on, go with your thing. But I think I mean, if he wins, he's going to be a mainstay, I think, because he's going to score at least like 90, 95 in a win, especially if the wrestling comes into play. So
I agree. Popular dog can get exposure too.
Pick is Dobson and making it unanimous there.
All right, next fight up. We got Abubakar Nurmagomedov taking on Gadzi Omar Gadziev. Nurmagomedov 8,700. Omar Gadziev 7,500. The favorite, Nurmagomedov -165. Comeback on Omar Gadziev is +140. I made the joke last night on a podcast that, you know, you make people crack jokes about how certain people look like the UFC fighter, like default character, like no, like just kind of base looking bald white guy with like no features. Like that's, you know, if you were building the no feature default template video game Russian fighter, that would be Abubakar Nurmagomedov. There's nothing really outstanding about him. He's a grinding type of just Russian fighter. That's who he is. I think that's good enough here against Gadziev. Gadziev maybe could win. Like, I don't think he's the deadest of dogs in the card, but not my favorite. I like Abubakar. He's somebody I think might not get enough ownership just based on upside, the people around him. Like, if he gets 13 takedowns, like some of these Russians randomly do, obviously that's going to be good enough. I'll be a little over it. I think he gets I don't think it'll take a ton to get there. So Nurmagomedov is my pick. Chris, who do you have?
Yeah, another guy who got Barallo. There's two of them on this card, which is interesting. But so that alone tells me that we might go Abubakar for the wrestling. But then you look at Abubakar.
Hang on, that's not fair. Did you watch the Barallo Gadziev Omar Gadziev fight?
Yeah.
Barallo is like Gadziev's dropping down a weight class for a reason. The size advantage was not fair. It was
sure, like you rushing the toddler. Well, I mean, you're not gonna quibble over the strength of a Russian wrestler now, are you?
I think that we're gonna get plenty of takedowns here, but just to say, Barallo wrestled him. Who's a good
grappler? I just thought it was a funny thing that both guys back to back got wrestled by.
You could take a 205er who couldn't, you know, take a guy that big who can't grapple. You put him in there against Gadziev, who is tiny for 85. Like, I think he'll get thrown around. But anyway,
I could see the kind of a fade here. I mean, we saw Abubakar show up and basically box Jared Gooden, I guess, because he was winning. So he decided, why not do it? I think at least a lesser resistance path would be to wrestle. If Sean is worried about the weight, I'm really not worried about the weight and strength. But I'm going to have less exposure to this, too, only because I think of all these Nurmagomedov surnames, Abubakar is one of the least likely to, like, have a persistent wrestling game. So
Saeed Nurmagomedov?
Huh?
Well, yeah, Saeed is a good striker. He's a solid striker.
He gets some grappling. Yeah. He's like, grappling. Yeah. Don't need that.
Yeah.
So
there's a pecking order. I'm just saying he's pretty low in it.
And let's not forget he got choked out by David Zawada.
Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it?
First round.
That was the first takedown of the fight, right? Like right in the beginning of the fight.
And he was a -315 favorite in that fight.
I think it was an armbar. No,
somebody may have picked Zawada.
Triangle.
A triangle. Okay. Did you pick Sawada?
He picks
Sawada. Yeah. There you go. Take a bow.
Now, this is a Khabib fighter, right? Khabib's going to be in his corner?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So this is going to be one of Khabib's first losses as a corner man.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
So, I'm sorry. Are you done, Chris?
No, yeah. Take it away, Joe, with a line like that.
I'm going with the dog simply because I do not think this Nurmagomedov is any good. I think he might be one of the worst fighters that Khabib reps. It was a bad look against Zawada. Did slightly better against Gooden. You know, shout out to Gooden. He won last week in another organization. He is a good friend of our good buddy, Dan Levy, Best Fight Picks. He's been a cool guy. I've met him online, Gooden. But, you know, I'm not going to take too much away from that win. I don't love this bout, and I'm not telling you that I'm going to rush to the windows with both hands and bet on Gotsi, but I don't think much of Nurmagomedov. I sure as hell would not pay that price. And what is Gotsi, 7.5K? He doesn't have to do too much at 7.5K. Now, there are fighters that I like more than him as dogs, but I would say I'm going to pick him. He's 13-1. I don't know that his floor is that high in a loss, but I'll have a share or two of him, and I don't expect to have much at all of Nurmagomedov.
He's got some power. Didn't Nurmagomedov get knocked out in PFL, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Oh, no. Yeah, he did not do well in PFL. All
right.
He did not do well in PFL at all. No. He got choked by Pavel Kuch, who's some Polish fighter that I never heard of. Magomed Mustayev, good fighter. He got doctor stoppaged in the first round. And then he's got some wins against nobodies. So I don't know, man. He's got a unanimous decision against Jonathan Weston for whatever that's worth in PFL. But you know, the choke out by Pavel was not a good look. So like I said, I don't think much of him. I certainly think that this line should be closer, and as a result, the DraftKings salaries. But I would say that if you're gonna use this fight, I would use the dog more than the favorite.
All right, let's go on to the next fight. Let's talk about Volkan Ozdemir. He's the underdog, 7,600, taking on Nikita Krylov at 8,600. Line on this fight: Krylov's minus 175, Ozdemir is plus 150. Another situation where I think the dog is barking here. I think Nikita Krylov is a little bit too old. I think he's going to be the more technical striker. I don't see Krylov getting a knockout. And if he doesn't get a knockout, I think Ozdemir wins via decision. So that is my pick for this fight. Chris, you're up first.
I think – is it Joe?
Didn't no, Joe's up first.
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So – my early builds before I listened to outside influences, I had some lineups. I still do because I'm going to play them with Ozdemir, you know, in those lineups. I thought at 7.6K, to your point, you know, the dogs are barking. We've got Krylov, who's coming off of a dominant win against the ghost of Alex Gustafsson. At least he's got a hot wife. And a loss to Paul Craig and Magomed Ankalaev. Now, obviously, the Ankalaev loss is not a bad loss, but, you know, Paul Craig, you know, he did what Paul Craig does. And if we're looking at MMMath, you know, Volkan Ozdemir won Paul Craig by not playing his game and going to the ground. Now, Krylov is not that old, Sean. Krylov's 30 years old. I know he's got a ton of fights, and maybe his birth certificate is off. My issue here is, and Ozdemir is 33, my issue here is two people who I respect a lot who do these types of pods have commented on how Ozdemir has been slowing down. Now, he's got a really good takedown defense. So, I don't know that Krylov is going to try to take him down because, you know, one, I think Ozdemir is the smarter fighter by far. You know, I've seen Krylov make some bonehead moves. Krylov is definitely more athletic. And, you know, if in fact the pundits are right and Ozdemir has slowed down as much as they say, and one of them is our good friend Brett Apley, another is a fight trainer who, you know, kind of commented on how slow he thinks that Ozdemir looked recently, you know, then Krylov is probably a sneaky play at 8.6K. I'm going to keep my lineups with Ozdemir because, like you said, Sean, the dogs are barking. He's got a good takedown defense. You know, Krylov does not have the best fight IQ in a while. He looked good against Teixeira until he didn't. He beat Johnny Walker, which, okay, you know, Johnny Walker's Mr. Shin. So, again, I'll probably have some shares of Krylov at 8.6K. I'm going to keep my shares of Ozdemir, and depending on how many lineups I ultimately end up playing, I haven't kind of decided that yet. I might add to what I currently have, but I know I need to make a pick, and I'm waffling here. I'm going to go with my original gut and say I'm going to go with the dog again. That's my third dog in a row at 7.6K. I'm going to go with Ozdemir. But again, it is a pick that I've become less confident about as the week has gotten along.
Ooh, Chris, who you got?
Okay, so we need some definitive pick here. And I like Krylov quite a bit here, actually. I think, well, the first reason is he doesn't really get knocked out. I think he's got like three knockout losses in something like 35 fights. So that's one thing. Second thing is Ozdemir slows down when you get him deep into a fight. I think that's going to happen here. Second thing is, like, yeah, he's got a good takedown defense, but I mean, Paul Craig went 0 for like 15 against him, and Paul Craig is the worst wrestler in the UFC who tries to wrestle, like without question. I'm not saying that. I mean, he's got a couple other ones. He stuffed a lot of Rakic's takedowns. Okay, Rakic is a kickboxer. You could say that Krylov is a karate fighter. Oh, Sean just gave me top secret information, which I am not allowed to share. But But yeah, so I think I like Krylov. I think Krylov can hang around, get Ozdemir tired, and get in there and get him by sub. Actually, have him by sub, which is plus 260. Anthony Smith did that after getting him tired. I think Krylov can do much the same thing. Lucky for Krylov, he's not going to have to worry about being stupid on the ground once he gets him there, because not the most cautious top player, which cost him against Paul Craig. Not gonna have to worry about that here. I actually like him. I don't see that much danger in here for him, if you want to know the truth. So I'm going Krylov.
All right, let's go to the next fight. Caio Barajo at 9,000 taking on Mahmoud Muradov at 7,200. Line in this fight, Caio was minus 200. Muradov plus 170. Muradov could be live, but I think Caio's grappling will hold up here. I think he'll be able to get takedowns, control. I think he's live for a submission. Muradov is okay everywhere, doesn't excel. I think Caio excel in one area. He's, you know, a well-rounded fighter. I think Caio's grappling will rule the day here. Who's first for this fight? My order is
Chris, all. Yeah.
Chris. All right, Chris.
All right, so the man himself, finally. It's weird that we he's faced two people on this card. I don't know if that's very common, but and also fighting on this card. But, yeah, I like him a lot here. The thing about Muradov is, like, he's a pretty slick boxer, but he's not a finisher. And all it took for Mearshart, who was a pincushion in that first round, was to be persistent and eventually got him down and eventually wore him down. Barajo is not the submission grappler that Mearshart is, but that could be to our benefit if it just means rinse and repeat takedowns. If I could trust Muradov, or if I thought he had some more power in his hands, Barajo's probably got the power in his hands of the two, even though Muradov is the more technical striker. So like in a fight where he had every advantage imaginable, I thought, against Andrew Sanchez, who at that point basically stopped even trying to wrestle. It took him to round three to even put him away. So I don't like Muradov at all, really. Even if he wins, like, it would only even – I mean, I couldn't even say it would be that much more than a cash play, because he's just going to box to a decision. So my pick is Barajo and yeah, I like him. I think he can excel and beat that score. Maybe he's only a cash play as well, but I'll probably have him in some GP.
Chris, pretty much everything you said. I mean, I don't like Muradov at all. I think my only concern, and I like Barajo quite a bit. I mean, the natural Brazilian jiu-jitsu nerd with glasses, love him. Like how he fights. You know, I like how he backpacks people. My only concern here is I don't know whether he's going to score enough in a win to be optimal, which sort of relegates him to cash status or, you know, contrarian status because of his salary. You know, that's my only concern here. I mean, I am, like, very confident that he's going to win. It's just the card is so deep. I don't know that you could say, okay, well, I'm going to plug him in to a GPP lineup and, you know, just go from there, because I think there's some severe doubts as to whether he's going to hit optimal. Now, I think I already said I'm not playing cash this week, but if I was, this is a guy I would have to seriously look at. Him, Carol Hosa, I think those are really solid cash plays. You know, the concern being, are they going to make optimal? So if you're building a cash lineup, you could do far worse than going with Hosa and Barejo here. So Barejo to win, like, by sub or by, well, hopefully by sub if you're playing him in GPPs, more likely by decision. But, you know, I think so little of Muradov that, you know, a sub is maybe the play here.
All right. Next fight up, right? I got my orders all screwed up. Yes. Jeez. Sean Brady take at 8,200, taking on Bilal Muhammad at 8,000. Brady's minus 145. Muhammad's plus 125. Look, I like Philly cheesesteaks. Therefore, I hate Bilal Muhammad. Look, I'm gonna give. So I do all my plays and picks. Sorry, another plug for MMA Play 365s, where I'll do all my DFS stuff. But I did tweet out today that the fight of Tukugov Almeida dropping out caused me to literally triple my ownership on Bilal Muhammad in GPPs. For this podcast, I'll share exactly what that meant. That meant that I went from 1% Bilal Muhammad to 3% Bilal Muhammad. Look, even if Bilal wins, I don't think he's going to put away Sean Brady. I have a hard time seeing him hitting the optimal with this crowded mid-range we have from live. I don't see Mr. 83 points hitting the optimal here. And aside from that, I'm picking Sean Brady to win. I think Sean Brady is a better wrestler, slightly better wrestler, and slightly better striker. I think he's a little bit better everywhere. It's a close fight. Any given day, it won't surprise me if Bilal wins. But I think when Brady wins, he's more dominant and is more likely to end up on the optimal versus Bilal. I just don't see big scoring upside from him. So not one I'm jumping to play in cash. You're going to play either in cash. There's actually a little bit of odds value on Brady, so that's my pick. So that's clearly the way I would go. GPPs, in my opinion, only one guy really has a ceiling. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting here because, yeah, I loved his rant about Philly. You know,
Paul Felder knocks him out. If Bilal wins and Felder does the interview, I hope he colts. Like,
what's interesting here is I could make an argument that while Bilal might have the bigger names of late on his resume, that Saunders actually beat the better fighters. You know, like the Jake Matthews win is aging pretty well. You know, having triangle choke Jake Matthews in round three. Michael Chiesa, although those of you could argue that Chiesa is on the way out, you know, to being a broadcaster. You know, so I get that narrative. I mean, Muhammad has just looked so good lately. He's going to get a lot of ownership. He's very personable. He's got a good social media presence. I mean, he just like took down Stephen Thompson like there was no tomorrow. But other than that, like, you know, Damian Maia, great jiu-jitsu fighter, older than dirt. Vicente Luque, you know, leads with his chin.
Come on. That's a good win. Stop.
Action fighter. Look, these are all good unanimous decision wins. I get it. I totally get it. You know, he's priced at 8K. I don't hate the price. I will have some shares. I think I'll probably be a little higher than the 3% that Sean has, because he did put up 108 points in a win against Luque and 132 points in a win against Thompson. I just think Muhammad might be playing with fire if he takes down Brady, in which case he makes this a striking match. Brady's jiu-jitsu is just so good. I heard someone say, and again, take it for what it's worth, that they thought that Brady had the best jiu-jitsu currently in the UFC of all active fighters. So again, take that for what it's worth. That alone has got me on Brady here. But I will have a few shares of Muhammad.
You have to tell me off air, if you can't say who it is, who disrespected Beneil Dariush like that.
No, I can tell you. Beneil? Actually, the person who said that actually has trained with Beneil Dariush. Again, I don't like to – I'm not necessarily propping up this pod. I think it's a good pod. If you like to get a perspective of a fighter and a fight manager and a former fighter, Santino DeFranco – He is the main coach at Fight Ready. And he does a pod every week with Brandon, who's a fighter. And, you know, Brandon was the one who's trained with you know, Beniel at Kings, who said that he thought that Sean Brady had the best jiu-jitsu of all active fighters in the UFC.
He must not remember Beniel because he was unconscious.
Could be.
Beniel choking him out. Anyway, Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I just had to look. And besides Chiesa, nobody's ever took Sean Brady down. You can argue, okay, Chiesa is very big for the weight class. I get it. When Brady slowed down in that third round, if you remember, that fight ends. If that fight goes on for another 30 seconds, Brady might literally get finished. He's literally getting punched in the face on the ground as the bell rings. So, and Chiesa was lighting him up on the feet in the third round, too. I did not like how that third round ended. Bilal, obviously not as big as Michael Chiesa, very much with the pressure, pouring it on, going to be in his face the entire time. And Bilal Muhammad, elite takedown defense, 91% takedown defense, doesn't stay long on the ground when he is there. Not many people have get a lot of control time against Bilal Muhammad.
And great cardio.
Great cardio. This is, as I often say that I crib from Zane Simon, this is a fight that Sean Brady has to win before I can pick him to win it. I don't think he walks in and just beats Bilal Muhammad here. I think,
Agreed.
And the idea that he was just so insistent on getting Chiesa to the ground. Now that might have something to do with the fact that the reach was so out of whack. I get that. But I'm gonna have to see how he responds to a fighter who's just in his face, who can use some of his own wrestling as well. I don't recall Bilal having any like severe jiu-jitsu deficiencies that I can remember that anyone's exploited to this point in his career. So, and if I recall, Bilal is the slight dog +120, which fascinates me, honestly. I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, no, you're right, Chris. I mean, I'm not saying Brady's going to be a runaway winner here. I mean, you know, we talk about how well the Matthews fight aged based on the performance that we saw Jake Matthews, which surprised me, quite honestly. But like, how well is that Court McGee win aging for Sean Brady? He put up 105 in a decision win against Court McGee. You know, the only fight he's had less than two takedowns was against Jake Matthews. You know, he's had at least two takedowns. He had five in his fight against Chiesa, you know. So, look, I think this is going to be an interesting fight. I am looking forward to this fight as much as many other fights on this card. I think it's very intriguing. I think a lot of people are going to be really interested in this fight. How is this fight not part of the main card? I don't get it. Makes no sense to me.
Beats me. I don't actually have a good answer for you.
Yep.
Let's go to probably the lead. You know, the answer actually is the lead-in fight supposed to, you know, generate buys for the pay-per-view. What's a good fight to put there? Because the first fight of the main card, which we are now up to, and actually
a good time,
I'm going to break and do. Make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Make sure you you subscribe to the podcast. Hit the like button if you're listening live. Shout out to the guys in the comments. We'll get to some comments along the way. And your hot takes at the end. We like to have hot takes. Something unexpected to happen. If you're new to the show, get ready to drop those. We will discuss some of them. You know, smash the like button. Follow all of us. Follow the podcast, RotoWire MMA. Now we'll talk about Manoa Fario, 8,900, and Caitlin Chukagian at 7,300.
And this is going to generate buys?
Yep.
Well, this is the main card now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This is the main card. And they're like, oh, you bought this shit? Good for you.
So how do you not swap these fights? This makes no sense to me.
Because
like you said, yeah.
You want the better fight for the people who are like, should I buy it? Should I not? You want the better fight before.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, okay. I don't know if I agree with that, but okay, fine.
I don't necessarily agree either, but that is the traditional logic.
That's the mindset. Traditional,
what they've done. Yeah, traditional mindset. Fierro -210, Chukagian +180. Look, this fight comes down to, are you a believer in Manoa Fario? I am. I'm going to pick her via decision. I will say the one thing I'm worried about, if she gets too comfortable in this fight and takes down Caitlin Chukagian, I don't want her there. please don't take down Caitlin Chookagian, whose BJJ and grappling is severely underrated.
She's got a belt from a pretty reputable school, right?
Chookagian? Yeah.
I forgot who she got her belt from.
I'll look it up, but it's severely, severely underrated.
Well, we saw that against Shevchenko Jr.
Is it John Danaher? I feel like
yes, John Danaher.
Good luck getting a high belt from Danaher. Like, that's a scary, scary situation down there. Yeah. So don't go there, Manon Ferrio. That would be a mistake, and I could absolutely see Chookagian hitting an arm bar to, you know, vet lesson, to use a Dan Levy term, to vet lesson Ferrio. Wouldn't stun me at all. The pick is still Fierro, but even though usually I'm on the fade Caitlin Chookagian train, I'm going to mix her in GPPs because I think she's live to a sub and she's cheap. And if Fierro chokes, I mean, not a lot of dogs win. There's paths to Chookagian being on the optimal. But Fierro will be my official pick. Chris, you're first.
So I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to answer this question just because it is a wonky start time. What is it, 10 a.m. tomorrow, guys?
10 a.m. Eastern.
10 a.m. Eastern time, yes. We got a couple in the chat there. Usually, you know, but this is a wonky start time, so I figured it's worth mentioning. But, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to get Chookagian to score well, but something keeps making me come back to her. The ground fighting, which you guys mentioned, also the agility and the footwork. I have a feeling that Fierro is just going to eat that jab all night as Chookagian circles out, because he is going to be that much quicker. I don't know. I could really just see her just like walking her in a circle, not cutting her off, and Chookagian just like jabbing her way to victory, which doesn't lend a lot to DFS, but I think, what's she like, plus 170 or something, plus 185, so that's not too bad. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, if she would offensively wrestle, which never happens, I think it happened once. Doesn't she have like one fight with six takedowns and then the rest is just, it just didn't happen. But yeah, I think I'm going to pick Chookagian here. I've kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop on Fierro just because I feel like, okay, a lot of the women she's facing are outsized, or they don't really have a particular skill set. Even like her later fights, when you don't have to go to like the late replacements or whatever, you have Myra Buena Silva, who I don't dislike, but it's like she walks forward and it makes like scary faces. And Maya's a good win, but I guess I'm still waiting. And by the way, in that Maya fight, you had her 94. She put up 82. She's back to 89. She was 89 in the Buena Silva fight. But if you're expecting the big number she put up against Leonardo and then Ricci, they were both criminally undersized. And I just don't think that happens anyway. So maybe she's a cash play. Maybe you can expect a little more. I think Chookagian is just going to outbox her and use her agility. So I don't know how well it's going to score, but my pick for the fight is Chookagian.
Yeah, well, since you stole all my thunder here, Chris, I am going to say that she's not even a great cash play. I mean, Fierro, I would much rather go with Baejo at 9K, and I'd much rather go with Carol Hosa if we're talking about cash. So, you know, and this is my concern, you know, as the competition has gotten better, the scoring has gone down. You know, in neither of her last fights did she even breach 10X. At 88, she was 8.9K, and she was 9.4 and put up a disappointing 82 against Maya. Now, she may win this fight. I mean, you know, it's very possible. I am also leaning towards Chookagian. I don't expect to have much of this fight at all, because if anything, Chookagian, you know, is a worse scorer. In her win, I don't know that she's ever broken 100 points, and she's had a ton of fights in the UFC. Let me just take a quick look. Has she ever broken 100 points? Yes. Against Ant Shinshenko Jr. That was her best fight. She had five takedowns in that fight.
That was like her one wrestling performance.
Yeah, and that's funny because I picked her in that fight, and I said, she's going to wrestle, and everybody was laughing like, no, she doesn't wrestle. And I'm like, you watch. She's going to take Shevchenko down and just grind her out. And, That's what she did. She had 11 minutes and 36 seconds of control time.
And then it's just like, why don't you do that all the time then? But whatever. You know, I hate that.
And actually threw 200 strikes in that fight and put up 119 points. By far,
I mean, 200 strikes, or did she grunt 200 times?
That's... Right. Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, if the judges buy into the grunts, maybe she'll...
Well, it's all the same to us, though, if we're playing DFS.
Yeah, I mean, I think this could be interesting because, you know, Fierro's a karate fighter, and, you know, she's got those great sidekicks, and if she damages Chookagian's leg coming in, I don't know. I mean, I don't like this fight at all. I'm not going to have a lot of it. Watch it be the biggest pork chop I never ate. You know, but I'm going to pick Chookagian. You know, but it's a very weak pick, and my advice is not to play much of this fight. And I think there are far better plays in cash at that price point than Fierro. So I would not advise even going with her in cash. I mean, again, if you want to be contrarian, and if you really think that Fierro is going to be, you know, like Shevchenko, Val, or Andrade, and finish Chookagian, who I believe are the only two people that finished her, then yeah, sure, go ahead. If you think Fierro is in that class, go ahead and play her, because that would be a good play. I don't think she's going to be that highly owned. You know, take the GPP play and do it. But I don't like it, and I'm going to be underweight.
I don't want to hold up on the fight, but I just want to state clearly what Nan was alluding to, which is that she did miss weight, the only weight miss on the card. So,
oh, Fierro?
No, Chookagian did.
Chookagian?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next fight up, Mateus Gamrot, 8,800, taking on Benil Dariush, 7,400. Gamrot at minus 215, Dariush plus 185. I like Benny early, Gamrot late. I think Benny will be able to find a submission here. I think at some point, Gamrot is just so well-rounded. I think he mixes everything in well. I think he's going to shoot. And I think Dariush is, you know, again, people forget about his grappling. I think of those wild exchanges on the feet with Gamrot, with Jakar Close and other places, a spinning back fist KO recently. Like his best attribute is his grappling. I think at some point they'll grapple. I think he can find a sub. I knocked my camera. Oh, no.
Oh.
There we go. I'm back.
Oh, you just got taller.
That's cool, right?
Yeah.
I think if they stand too long, I think Gamrot wins. But I'm going to go out on a ledge and say Benny via submission.
Wow.
I think this one is
Joe.
I believe.
Yeah, so I love Gamrot. I mean, he has been a scoring machine. I like him here. I'm going to have him as probably one of my most confident plays. With that said, I like Benny a lot. I mean, at 7.4K, I think it would be foolish not to play shares of Benny in GPPs. Here's my issue. Here's always been my issue with Benny. He's got so many other things going on in his life. He's like, you know, he's part of a gym that he owns. He's got other businesses. You know, how old is Benny? He's been around for a while. I'm going to have to look at now and see what his age is. Benny. You know, he is 33. He's not that old. You know, I mean, we saw him touched up by Jakar Close in a fight that he almost came back to won. Jakar Close is not a power puncher, right? He's not a power puncher by any means. Benny has got great jiu-jitsu. Gamrot has got – now, is Gamrot's wrestling better than Benny's jiu-jitsu? Maybe. You know, Gamrot has put on a few really – really impressive performances. I'm willing to say that is, you know, his first fight that he lost by split decision might have been octagon jitters. But he's rolled off, you know, a ground and pound win against Scott Holtzman. He got a Kimura against Jeremy Stevens. He beat up Diego Ferreira. That was a good win. And then, you know, in his last fight, that was kind of a 5-round war where he was at plus 210 underdog against Armin Chookagian, and that was a really good win. Like, if we see that guy come out, you know, who beat an 18-2 fighter, 26 years old, you know, who is a, you know, a 2-1 favorite, who, you know, trained at Tiger Muay Thai, I think, you know, if we see that same fighter, it's going to be a rough go for Benny. And I'm counting on the fact that we're going to see that fighter. So I like Gamrot here a lot at 8.8K. He seems to fit in a lot of my builds. I will have shares of Benny at 7.4 in GPPs, but, you know, based on the scoring, based on the upside, based on the recent fight performance, I like Gamrot a lot here.
Chris, who you got?
So I am going to disagree and come over to the Sean. Wow. Come in the Sean boat if there's room.
Well, I hate my life.
Yeah, the kiss of death, as I so often do. I like Dariush because you mentioned that Faia fight. I think this could look a lot like that with just a lot of scrambles on the ground, a lot of takedowns. And if that happens, I trust Benny to out-scramble basically anybody in the division and certainly Gamrot. I think that, you know, Gamrot's got some hands, I guess. He knocked out Scott Holtzman with a nice one, too. But, you know, Benny is very tough, you know, can swing a little bit himself, has a decent jab himself. So I think Benny just has some more skills. And, you know, Gamrot just the low single is just not going to work here. You know, maybe he gets sprawled out on a couple times and he scrambles an issue that way. And then, boom, Beneil Dariush already has your back, which is not a good thing. But I like Benny, the dog odds here, and I am going to take him. Benny Dariush, I think. And the 2-1 split.
Let's go next fight. Piotr Jan, 9,300. Sean O'Malley, 6,900. We get to the, you know, exciting fights for the fans. Minus 275 for Jan. O'Malley plus 230. I think Peter Yan is a parlay piece. I can't bet him straight, but look, I don't think O'Malley's going to be able to counter him up. It's a big step up. Again, I'll kind of hit on what I hit on a different podcast. Sean O'Malley was built so slow for a while that all of a sudden he got to this point where to kind of justify what he's making and who he is, now he's got to go so fast. It's going from Chris Moutinho and guys to Pedro Munhoz and Piotr Jan. It's a giant, massive leap up. I think all the stuff he does in the feet, from what I've seen, I think Piotr Jan's going to be able to cut off the cage, corner Sean O'Malley, and I'm not so sure Sean O'Malley can take punishment, like, at all. So official pick for me in this one is going to be Piotr Jan via round 2 knockout. Sean O'Malley, sure, live, I guess. I don't see it. I guess he's live. I'll have a little bit because if he wins, I'll be totally dead because he's going to be popular because he's Sean O'Malley. But I like Piotr Jan quite a bit. So, Chris.
Yeah, I think you have to pick Piotr Jan here.
not if you're on social media. Holy crap this week.
Yeah.
Sean's boss.
What's that?
Not if you're Sean's boss, Adam Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
Did Newsom pick him on the money line?
On MMA 365 podcast, he picked Sean O'Malley.
I can't do it.
Save this one for hot takes, but I like it
that's
too
not,
much.
That's not funny.
The grounded knee, we have to wait for it. But yeah, I agree. Cutting off the cage. O'Malley can say whatever he wants that I checked every leg kick from Munhoz. You checked a couple of them. Most of them got through. And I think Peter Yan can do that also. We might see some grappling from Peter Yan, who is still a very good grappler. The first Aljamain Sterling fight, where he was basically just toying with him, hitting those trips. And it's tough. I mean, it's a big reach disadvantage. He's going to have to get through it. I think he will. The one thing you have to worry about, two things, is that Yan shells up a lot and O'Malley hits hard. So that's one. Two is Jan's been known to take rounds off, and it's hard to do in a 3-round fight and win. So those are two things that you have to be mindful of. So if you want to take a shot at O'Malley, go for it. I think skill for skill, which is how I always think you have to play it, Jan is just a way better fighter. And so that's where I'm going. O'Malley's live because of the things I mentioned, but I like Jan quite a bit.
Okay,
Joe.
So I got a quick shout out before I bury the lead here. Shout out to my good friend. And if you guys don't know anything about the Central Coast of California, if money was no object, it is one of the most beautiful places in the continental United States to live. And I am shouting out my good buddy, Alan, who lives in the Central Coast. Talk about a cool dude. This guy went to Hawaii and he sent me, you know, unsolicited, some Kona Hawaiian coffee. For those of you that are not coffee connoisseurs,
I just came back from Hawaii and I drank a shit ton of Kona coffee.
Kona is one of the best coffees. You got Jamaican Blue Mountain and you got Kona. We're not talking Kopi Luwak, which is the Indonesian coffee that's kind of shit out by Little Rodents, which is really expensive, like $250 a pound. Now I'm being a coffee snob. But Alan sent me some coffee from Hawaii. It was really cool dude. So shout out to Alan. Not often do I get to kind of like reference the show in my description of the fight, but really what I see this fight coming down to is Piotr Jan exhibiting fight IQ, because this is not a five-round fight. This is not a five-round fight, right? Not as a bigger snob than me.
Kick him out.
Yeah, so this is not a five-round fight. So you got to hope that his man
Kopi Luwak sucks. All right, that's fine.
Kopi Luwak. Okay, yeah, Kopi Luwak is what I was talking about, 250.
You can stay.
Yeah, so he has got to not take a round off. And here is what I really want to see happen. I want to see him use his wrestling. I want to see him take Sean O'Malley down. Yes, you know, maybe you could hurt him with the leg kicks, but I think where he could really dominate Sean O'Malley is by taking him down. I mean, look how he took Aljamain Sterling down. You know, I think he could take Sean O'Malley down and dominate this fight. My concern is that he cannot afford to take the first round off in a three-round fight. It's not going to work. It's not going to work from, you know, the potential to kind of lose a greasy decision, but it's also not going to score all that well on DK. So if I'm going to give Jan the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't take a round off, that he decides to use his wrestling, I like Jan in this spot at 9K. However, on that outside chance that he forgets that it's a three-round fight, takes the first round off and decides that he's going to use, you know, he's going to use striking and not try to take the fight down, I will have a share or two of O'Malley at 6.9K, which actually leads to some pretty interesting builds. So I'm going to pick Jan to win, giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to take a few shares of O'Malley in case the fight IQ is not there.
It'll be hilarious if he doesn't wrestle at all now, because Jan just said that that's all he did during the open workouts. So I hope he doesn't, because that would just be very funny to me.
That's how these guys do, too. Whatever. I mean, they'll absolutely do that to us. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the co-main event. Aljamain Sterling, 8,500, defending his bantamweight title against TJ Dillashaw at 7,700. Line on this fight, Aljamain Sterling is minus... How is it? Damn you, best fight odds. Minus 175. Comeback on Dillashaw, plus 150. I have an interesting take on this fight in that I do think that Aljamain Sterling is just criminally underrated continually. And I can't tell just because of how he's won some of his fights or, you know, that cringe character he's kind of become. But he's a good fighter, good pace, good wrestling. These guys are they're kind of the same fighter to me. And TJ's a bit older, more experienced, and a little bit better of a gas tank. Although it's hard to know because, I mean, was Dillashaw doping the whole time he had the gas tank? Like, you know, But he's in the past had shown off a great gas tank. I think Aljamain wins the fight, but line-wise, I think there's value on the TJ Dillashaw side. And it's more and more people picking Dillashaw, kind of get it. And even in my own breakdown, I kind of have said they're similar fighters. Well, why is one minus 175? I can't pay that juice on Aljamain Sterling. I never was going to. I think he gets it done via decision. I think it's a really close fight. I think Aljamain's just a little bit better wrestler and will be able to keep his pace. If TJ is able to stay in his face for all five rounds, I don't like my pick here. If TJ can keep the pace and pressure up and get Aljamain moving backwards, I think Aljamain will get tired, and I think TJ will win the decision. I think this fight goes to decision. I think it's incredibly close. You make me make a pick. The pick will be Sterling. The odds value favors Dillashaw. In DK, this is the fight to stack even before the main, but the double stack is actually in play this week. But if you're making me pick one, this would be the fight I would stack. And in GPPs, play some of both sides, but it's not an all-in fight. It's not. The better GPP fight is the main event. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so I think Dillashaw is criminally undervalued almost in this spot here at 7.7K. I am going to, for the purposes of this argument, consider 99 to be 100. And if you consider 99 to be 100, TJ has only scored less than 100 points in a win once. And that was a tragic fight against the Sun Sal where I think he put up 64 points or something like that. He doesn't have a bad floor either, which I agree. If you're playing cash, this is a pretty good fight to stack. I mean, he put up 111 in a five-round fight against Corey Sanhagen. Against Cody, put up 130, put up 99 in the prior fight, 117 against Lineker. His background is pedigreed with 100-plus point fight scores. And at 7.7K, I love him. I am going to have so much TJ Dillashaw. I will also go out on a limb, and I'm not an ownership guy, so take this for what it's worth. TJ will be higher owned than Aljamain. I honestly believe it. Give me TJ here. If you looked at him, he's bricked up. He could have found a way around the USADA. I don't know.
He kind of looks like it. I posted something like that. Like,
give me I like Aljamain as well, and I'm going to have shares of him. If I was playing cash, this is the fight I would stack. But give me a lot of TJ. Just your builds can really be good with using TJ. Now, I have to rebuild a lot of lineups because I really like Lucas Almeida. But TJ, you know, like if you start building lineups using TJ up front, you can really put together some interesting lineups. So I'm going to have a lot of TJ here. I will have Aljamain Sterling in GPPs as well. But I love TJ. He's my pick to win.
We would have had quite the argument because I had a lot of Tuukka Goff.
Oh, really?
I think Almeida's pace would have forced Tuukka Goff to throw volume.
I mean, because Tuukka Goff doesn't score. I mean, not only does he not fight, I mean, he doesn't, I mean, he's the one that got sick, right?
But Almeida's pace is what, you know, forces a guy out who could go up to throw. It would have been interesting. Yep. Anyway, can't go there. Sad. I do hope they rebook that fight. Chris, who you got coming?
Yeah, but Tuukka Goff throws wild and Almeida's a good counterpuncher. So that's probably what would have happened. Anyway, I agree with everything about Dillashaw, including the ownership, which I think is going to be quite high. But I like him here, too, for a lot of the reasons you guys mentioned. One thing that I'll add is that nobody really keeps him on his back. The last person to take him down more than once was Dominic Cruz. Took him down four times. He spent, I believe, a minute 17 on his back, four takedowns. Very hard to hold down. Very good scrambler. Wrestler himself, obviously. So, if Aljamain Sterling can't do that, and this is kind of how I feel about Aljamain Sterling generally, at least when it comes to the top guys. I mean, if Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling fought next week, I would take Yan in a heartbeat at whatever they lined him at, because whenever he didn't have him in a body triangle, he was losing the fight very bad. And that could be what's happening here. Dillashaw has a similar kind of pressure. He's got even more agility. He's quicker. I like TJ quite a bit. He got good footwork. Jan also has good footwork. But I like TJ quite a bit here. I think Aljamain will be under-owned, and he's got paths to victory. But, it's just hard for me because, like I said, the next time we see TJ dominated on the ground will be the first time. So, and that's generally how Aljamain Sterling wins his fights. So, look, we didn't think it could happen. We didn't think he could do it to Sandhagen when he did it. So we'll have to see. That's a similarly fluid fighter. I wouldn't, not on the level of TJ. Maybe comparable agility. We have our first spam bots in the chat, which I think is initiation that we've made it. Maybe this is a popular one. But in any case, I'm going to get that guy out of here and close out my pick, which is TJ Dillashaw.
But I wanted private dating chat girls. I mean, come on. It's gone.
That's it. I hope you memorize it because it's gone.
Yeah, how many of those have you been getting in your Twitter? I mean, geez.
A bunch.
I think that's the first time we've had him here, which is interesting. But
that's right. We just broke our cherry.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Sorry. Moving on. Islam Makhachev, 8,400, taking on Charles Oliveira, 7,800. The champ, quote unquote, is the underdog. Makhachev up to minus 190. Oliveira plus 160. For what it's worth, Makhachev opened minus 240 and got all the way down to minus 155, and now it's on the way back up to minus 190. So there's money on both sides of this fight. With the way I'm looking at it, I'm picking Makhachev, but I do think Oliveira could very well beat him early. Oliveira, more powerful striker, and he's got all the submissions, you know, if Makhachev makes a mistake. I hate when somebody's path to victory is submissions only. I think Makhachev will close the distance. I don't think he'll shoot traditional shots. I think it'll be the clinch game, trip takedowns, that kind of thing. And I think he's just going to wear on Charles Oliveira and slowly wear him down. The official pick for me is Islam Makhachev via round four KO, similar to how, you know, my linear champ Paul Felder defeated Charles Oliveira, just, you know, kind of beating him up on top, and eventually Oliveira just can't take anymore. Yep. Now, I'm not saying he quit, because that was a narrative for a while, and I pushed it for a little bit just to, you know, kind of push buttons. I came up with a good way to phrase it last night. It's not that some fighters are quitters. It's some fighters in this crazy sport are animals and psychopaths, and you cannot grind them out. They're just built different. They're crazy people. And some fighters are just, that's not their strong suit. Charles Oliveira is, I think, in that category where you can grind him out of a fight. It's not knocking him saying he's quitting. It's just, it's not his strong suit to get in these kind of long, drawn-out wars. My opinion, that's how I think Makhachev will eventually finish him. But I'm not, you know, these type of fight cards bring out all the crazy people and just the world in general. Like, it's got to be A or B, left or right, black or white. I'm like, no, this is what I think happens. But I acknowledge if Makhachev makes a single mistake shooting, he will get darced or anaconded real, real quick. And I'll be stunned if he taps, because if he will break his shit off, he'll have to go unconscious. So anyway, Makhachev round four KO is my official pick. Chris.
It's yeah,
funny. The underdog is more popular. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm picking Oliveira, but I, you know, just going back, because I wanted to say I knew Kevin Lee took him down, right? 6 minutes of control time. That's a lot. That's a lot of control time. We know that how that fight ended with the guillotine that Lee hilariously tried to pretend didn't happen. But you know, I can't go against Oliveira in this spot as an underdog. I just can't do it. I love the pressure that he puts on. I think if he forces Oliveira to stand for any length of time, it's going to be bad for Oliveira. It's been a couple of years now. But
Wait. It's going to be bad for Makhachev.
It's going to be bad for Makhachev, yeah. Okay. It's going to be bad for Makhachev. It's been a couple of years now, but Adriano Martins countered left hook.
Oh God, not Adriano Martins again.
Closes the show. I liked Adriano Martins a lot. I was very sad to see him go.
Cody Safrick is promoting a fight, I think, this weekend that Andre Martins is fighting in.
Oh really? Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll have to check that out. But yeah, you know, the pressure, the pace. I'm really interested to see what happens when Makhachev gets takedowns. My read on these guys, these Sambo guys, their jiu-jitsu is very, like, kind of basic. Like, when you see when Habib gets his takedowns, and another Russian fighter tried this, I forget who, but, like, if you go for that, like that reverse triangle from top, like, that's something that, like, it's not – anybody who knows what they're doing is going to see that coming and stop it. So, like, it works against Justin Gaethje because you have to like, put your leg under their neck. And then so it's not going to work against somebody like Oliveira. I'm interested to see how Makhachev is going to deal with a jiu-jitsu ace underneath him. He could grind him out. I couldn't put it past him. But I think, Sean, I have to say that every time you think Oliveira is going to lose, you bring up that Paul Felder example. This is at least.
No, I'd bring it up every time there's an Oliveira fight because I like Paul Felder. Every time there's an Oliveira fight, I bring that up, whether I pick him or not.
Yeah. But yeah, so I have to go Oliveira here. I'm sure he'll be very, very highly owned. Makhachev is very expensive. And we've just never seen, well, I won't say never, on this current run, we haven't seen Oliveira dominate like that. And even in that Felder fight, Felder had to, like, survive some deep, deep submission attempts.
Well, that's why he is the linear
world champion. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, and, Chris, you spoke in the devil's lettuce. I mean, come on.
It's a joke, clearly. But by the way, in all seriousness, I do think Paul Felder is the best color commentator the UFC has right now. And he's replacing Joe Rogan on this internet. Like, yes. He's got the call.
Good news. I love it. By the way, guys, before I go into my fight review, you know, there are movies that whenever they're on, you've always got to, like, watch them. You know, like, you always got to kind of tune in no matter where they are in the movie. And movies like Blades of Glory and Dodgeball and My Cousin Vinny, like, whenever they're on, you just got to tune into them. There's another movie like that. It's called The Heartbreak Kid. It's got Ben Stiller and Miley Ackerman in it. And this is a movie where you have to watch the credits. And if you haven't seen it, I don't want to give too much away about the movie. But what's really interesting about it is the best credit I have ever seen in a movie is some guy who was credited as being the donkey fluffer. Now, boy, his parents must be proud that he is a donkey fluffer. But you got to watch the credits for The Heartbreak Kid. Anyway, doesn't Habib have a shirt that says if Sambo was easy, it would be jujitsu?
It would be jujitsu, sure.
Yeah, I think that Habib has a shirt. I'm all over Islam here. And I don't know, like, maybe you and I have a different definition of expensive. I think 8.4K is pretty sweet, personally. I like the price on Islam here. Look, I'm going to have shares of Chucky Olive in GPPs. I'm not that crazy. I've seen him snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. You know, he's been hurt in each one of his last few fights. I like Islam a lot here. I think he is, you know, the rightful champion. People are saying he's, you know, or at least he's better than Habib, perhaps. I guess time will tell. I like him to get the win here. Would I be shocked if Chucky Olive's won? No, of course not. But I do like Islam a fair bit here, and I am going to give you my hot take once we're done here. It's not going to be very sexy, but I think you could make some money off it. Give me Islam here. Like him in cash. Like him in GPPs. Have shares of Chucky. Great odds value. Not odds value. Great salary value. Use both fighters liberally if you're mass entering. But if you're playing one lineup, definitely put Islam in it.
All right. It's time for hot takes, guys. Anybody in chat with a hot take, drop it here. Something unexpected. Could be DFS. Could be fight related. Anything you've got. While everybody queues up those, I will one final time remind you to go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all the premium content. No credit card required. Please like this podcast if you're watching on YouTube. Follow all those channels, iTunes, on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button, all those places. Appreciate that very much. Follow all of us on Twitter, all that usual good stuff. I know I skate through it sometimes, but please do that. It small stuff makes a big difference to help us get out more places. We'll start with some hot takes. I feel like I want to go first this week, because I think I said it earlier, give me Beneil Dariush round one submission.
What does that pay?
I'm going to find it real quick.
How do you not have that ready? Come on.
I don't just because I'm typically I focus on DFS and I do my betting late. There we go. Let's see. What do you think that pays?
I would say probably plus 150.
You want the submission or you want the exact method of victory?
Give me the exact method of victory.
Oh, well, Beneil Dariush just in round one period is 9,000.
Okay, in round one, yeah. I didn't mean plus 150. I meant Beneil Dariush by submission, probably going to be something like 3-1.
Plus 1,000.
Really? It's better than I would have thought.
plus 1,000.
I think that's a lie. I'm gonna have some shares of that.
So that is the hot take for me this week.
I have my hot take here. This is not a hot, super hot take. However, Sean, Chris, come on. If I told you that you could wager $710.29 and win $2,000, and that means you get your bet back and you win $2,000 by betting $710.29.
I would say, can I have $710.29?
Who would not do that? And all you have to do to win $2,000.
I'm queuing this up. Go ahead. I'm ready.
That's $710.29 in a parlay with TJ Dillashaw and Islam Makhachev. That pays plus 281. I said it wasn't going to be very sexy, but I like $2,000, and I am going to make that play. I'll post it up on Twitter. $710.29 to win $2,000.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
I'm on it. That's my hot take.
Chris, who you got? And then we'll go to chat.
Well, I was going to do something that wasn't all that big, but since we're swinging for the fences here, I mean, not Joe, but I think you did. Charles Oliveira is going to knock out Islam Makhachev and put a stamp on the GOAT conversation of the lightweight division.
Even if he does that, he's not the GOAT.
Yes, he is. Well, we can't have this debate now, but
People are so quick to call the current person the GOAT. It's just
No. But it's not just current. He's been like this forever. How long has it been now? And he's defended against tougher people unmasked than Khabib has. I mean, come on.
Well, guys, Jalen Smith just wiped out 30% of the field in the NBA tonight. Ugh. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Look, we know Makhachev. If we get him to stay
Hang on. The GOAT cannot have lost 3 of 4 fights and 4 of 6 at one point in the UFC.
Sure, he can. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, though.
Doesn't make you the GOAT. No.
GOAT status. It doesn't matter.
If it wasn't for Will Brooks sucking in the, like, choking and sucking every time he gets to the UFC, Oliveira would have got a pink slip.
Okay.
Oliveira was almost cut.
Well, that just makes it all the more. That just makes it all the more inspiring.
Let's read some chat hot takes. I got a hungry child here.
It's not about the okay.
He's not a child. He's in college. Order some pizza and then get daddy to give you money.
Anyway, Khabib goes now. We have a spicy one off the bat here. Let's see it.
Juke fight is a draw.
I hate you.
You know what? What is the draw pay?
Probably plus 1,000 or something.
Probably. No, it's usually plus 2,000, 2,500 is a normal draw prop somewhere.
Is it?
No,
okay.
I'll check. I'll get it.
There's like a standard. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, it's usually 20-1, 22-1.
What else to draw? Draw plus 5,000.
Oh, 5,000.
Hold on. That's the Carol Hosta fight. Now let me click on this fight.
I'm throwing a dollar on that just because Corey, if it comes in, I'll send you a 10%. I'm putting a dollar on it.
Okay. Before we go to the other hot take, do John's one more time. Card starts at 10 a.m. Eastern, guys. 10 a.m. Eastern. Main card is 2 p.m.
Do not wait to the last minute to get your contests are already selling out on DraftKings. Yeah. So do not wait. Like, don't think I'm going to get up at 7 or 8 and reserve some contests. No, man. Contests are selling out now.
Great sizing, DraftKings missed the ball.
I know. Anyway, they totally blew it.
Okay. Last one. I mean, I feel like non listened to my breakdown and just kind of said, oh, yeah, this happened.
Yeah, the draw is 50-1 in the Chukagian fight as well.
Chucky, round 2 sub via Darce off the cage. Totally see it. Even though I picked this one.
It would be really interesting. I don't think anyone offers the method of sub, do they?
Yeah, I was going to say, he spiced it up a little bit at least.
Yeah, I don't think anyone offers
that. I said Darce or Anaconda, fine. I hope the Anaconda isn't just the reverse arm and just to mess with you, not. That's what I hope. All right, guys. That's what we got. I need to go. Joe needs to feed his college-aged child. How dare you try and pull
me? She came home to do laundry and pick up her contact lenses from the eye doctor. So
the good old days. I miss those days when I go home and get food.
Yeah.
Laundry. Nice, huh? Enjoy it.
Now we're probably going to do something from DoorDash or Uber Eats. So
And I know Chris has got to turn around and watch a baseball game that is in commercial right now, but he's got to go watch that game. So for all of you playing, good luck in those contests. We'll see you next time for 281, an event that I know I will be at. Joe hopefully will be there as well. Madison Square Garden. I don't know why every time I go to a fight, I have to watch Israel Adesanya in a main event.
I know.
But I might throw some stuff this time.
He's such a boring main event fighter, too. People were walking out in Vegas. I mean.
Yeah, I was there.
You got to follow Doc Octagon on Twitter, and not just because his girlfriend is super hot. He goes to all the fights, and he was showing people leaving as his real
what Doc showed was accurate. He showed some of the escalators to a few people.
Yep.
There was a stream of people leaving. I was sitting there.
That's how boring Izzy fights are. You know.
It was like, bad. Anyway, good luck on your contest, guys. Cash some stuff. Tag us. After you do, see you next time.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.